Radio Stadtfilter live an der internationalen Kurzfilmtag Winterthur 2021. Willkommen zu den internationalen Kurzfilmtagen hier in Winterthur und willkommen natürlich als ganze Publikum von Radio Stadtfilter zuhause an den Mikrofon, eben nicht an den Mikrofon, sondern natürlich an den Lautsprecher. Wir sitzen hier, da, das ist neu, das haben wir so noch nie oder schon sehr, sehr lange nicht mehr gehabt. Wir sitzen hier in der Bar im Casinotheater von Winterthur und sind quasi live, wirklich an den Kurzfilmtagen, mitten drin im Geschehen. Und vielleicht kommen ja dann auch noch die einen oder anderen direkt da hören. Bis jetzt ist das Publikum noch klein, aber vielleicht wird es ja noch grösser. Wir sind die nächste halbe Stunde live auf Sendung und weil ich zwei Gäste da habe, Gästinnen, die nicht alle Schweizerdeutsch können, wechseln wir die Sprache. Aber ich tue sie noch ganz kurz auf Schweizerdeutsch vorstellen, dass alle schnell wissen, ob sie jetzt dranbleiben oder nicht. Ich habe Aline Juchler einerseits da bei mir. Sie ist Kunsthistorikerin, Filmwissenschaftlerin und im Vorstand von der Kurzfilmtag. Und ich habe Delphine Genre da bei mir, wo ein Programm kuratiert hat. And now we switch to English so that we all can actually talk and understand each other. Delphine, I think it's okay to kind of just call you by the surname.
To?
Call you by your surname only. Is that okay? I didn't ask you before, so I ask
course,
you
now. Of course.
Great. You actually curated this one program that is called...
Make It Visible.
Make It Visible, thanks. Make It Visible. What is it about? Can you just tell us in very short words for people who haven't seen anything, who don't know what it is about, what it is about?
So the program is part of the main focus on Switzerland, on Swiss cinema. And the idea of this program was to present films by women filmmakers and women artists from Switzerland in a very brief way.
So yeah, Switzerland is the main focus that the short films have this year. Why are women so important? Why is one of the 8 programs that we have about women or women filmmakers?
Well, you know, I think it was important for us to come up with different programs, with different themes, with different ways of looking at cinema and of looking at the world. And we are different programming the programs of the focus. And I came up with this idea to present films by women filmmakers and women artists in Switzerland, which was very broad, and I had to narrow it a lot. But that was that's how it came from, and I think everybody in the program committee was very interested also to see what we would be able to see and which films that we haven't seen since a while, maybe on screen, could be brought up.
Does it have anything to do, your focus, with 50 years of women's right to vote in Switzerland? Is it a coincidence, or is it also part of your interest in women?
Yeah, it was also a strong motivation, of course, to make visible, you know, women artists this year. Of course, it's also it's a very important anniversary for Switzerland and for women in Switzerland. And I mean, I was 11 years old in 1991 when Appenzell was the last canton to allow women to vote. Which was not such a long time ago. So of course it's very strongly connected to my history as well, to the history also of Aline and of all the women who are curating in the program. And it's also very strongly connected to my mother, to my sisters, and to all the women that I know in general. And it was also a way to show to you know, to younger generations who are these artists that we know and that we knew and that we would like to present their work to other people and also to the international public.
Aline, how did you participate in the programming or anyways in the short films this year?
This year I was more in a, I would say, indirect way, apart from also the program. I became mother in February. So all of the phases of like the deprogramming and detail planning of and also choosing the films. At one point, Dev and I were speaking or like more chatting. If I had some suggestions for her film program, and of course I totally forgot about it because I was just busy with something else. So I like this year I really only always got the like news and I heard about this focus and then about Delphine's program and I got curious and it kind of accompanied me now in the last few weeks because I knew I was part of this talk and tomorrow we will have the context talk after the screening of Make It Visible. And I mean, your question before, like, why is there a women's focus or why is there amongst eight films, film programs, one only focusing on this? I mean, maybe people are a bit annoyed by it by now after this year of like all these anniversary events, and there was something on the Münsterhof in Zurich, like on women's vote anniversary and architecture, and now here we have this focus on films. Then we had other exhibitions all over Switzerland, and bringing this topic up. And yeah, people may be fed up, but I think we're not at the point where we can just let this topic go and just do as if this wasn't every now and then still a problem. Like if we have all male panels, I mean, this has gotten less, I must say, also at this festival. But there are still like pointing fingers at stuff that I don't get why there aren't more women represented, where there isn't a more diverse, maybe also audience to talk to, or like wanting to bring a more diverse audience in also at our festival. I mean, there are many ways how women are still underrepresented. And we have to work on that. And I think through a program like this, where you have a historical approach, where you have like contemporary filmmakers, like really young filmmakers. I think one is born in the 90s. I mean, she has probably missed that moment of 91, where Appenzell was finally giving women rights to vote. I think that's the way how you do it, and how we still have to be persistent and bring that up. I wouldn't mind also an all-female focus here at the festival. I think I would be on the board, maybe a bit on my own with only that topic. But yeah, I think there's still a lot to do.
And it was also quite interesting when, I mean, still we had a few text messages, contact and exchanged some ideas. And it was also interesting because me, I come from the French part of Switzerland, you from the German part. So it was also interesting to see which artist we would, you know, think of and come up with and discuss these different points of views. So that was also the idea of giving a polyphony of voices of women's work.
Let's talk about the films. We have to say, though, that Alina and I had the same problem. We couldn't actually watch them. So we need you, Delphine, to kind of explain, not only to us two, but also to the people listening to us, what they can see when they go see.
So there, and I don't remember,
you have eight
films. Yeah, 8 films in the program. And it's part of a long research process where I was researching films by women from Switzerland, made in Switzerland, and I started to dig into the history of Switzerland for that, and into the history of filmmaking, and I realized that there were not that many women for a certain time, and especially, for example, in documentary or in animation, where it was mostly fields that were led by men filmmakers. And and I came up with, I rediscovered the films by a lot of pioneers, women pioneers, among which Carole Rousseau Christopoulos, who for me is a very strong voice also in all this idea of renaming the streets by women's artists, women's thinkers. She was also part, you know, of those names that came up again and that people could remember her work. So she was in 1971, she was one of the first women to start documenting engaged demonstrations. And she went into, for example, a lot of social demonstrations, also among sex workers, also among, a lot of minorities. And she was really filming everyone with her little camera. It was a very small camera that you could carry with you everywhere. And so it was easy for her also to carry it everywhere and to record sound and image. So that was how she began also to make films. And this film that we are showing here, Gabrielle Nanchen from Carole Roussopoulos, is from 1971. It's a black and white documentary, really, on the first woman who is national advisor in Switzerland. So it's also very interesting because she is very young. Like today, we also talk a lot about old people being at the same position over and over and over again. And this woman is very young and she's giving her point of view on Swiss politics and on why things should change. And then Carole Roussopoulos goes to the cities and to the countryside and ask the people, and there you can see that people don't really want change, which is kind of still continuing now in a way. So it's also very symbolic for today's thinking and reflections.
And I just wanted to add, from an outside perspective, which I kind of had this year, because you said we couldn't watch the films, which was sad. But I just wanted to say I couldn't sometimes re-watch the films because some I knew already. And to give a bit an idea of, because the program is filled with like different names and some are known and some are lesser known. And I really like this diversity in that program. So for the listeners, maybe it's interesting to know that there is a film by Pippi Lotiris, that is a very known artist here in Switzerland, I think the most known, and her her work, I forgot now the name.
I don't know
but
the name.
It's just now the most Instagrammed piece of art that that exists now. It's that kind of it's Pixel Forest, exactly called. It's now on view in at Kunsthaus in the new building. And it's just, she's a very known artist, and maybe some don't know her, like, thoroughly, her like, filmic works, and that you also can show them at the festival and not, like, in a museum context. And then Elodie Pong is also a really known filmmaker, artist from the Romandie, and that film, Je suis une bombe, that is shown in your program, has won once at our festival 2006, the Swiss competition, I think, I remember right.
Yeah.
And so there is a lot to kind of rediscover or discover newly, like, for example, this very young Alizée Rose Meimono that I actually heard through your program for the first time. And since then, I have encountered her many more times. So she's kind of on a rising plane right now.
Yeah, and it's a very diverse program, as you said, and it invites a lot of different filmmakers. But the idea was also to show the diversity and to have different approaches. So there are documentaries, there are very experimental, there's an animation, there's something that is more of an essay, like the last film, and the film by Alizée Rose Meimono, for example, if it's invisible, it doesn't exist, I guess, really opens up to contemporary thematics, like, what it is to be today a white woman in Switzerland, and what it is to look at women and at other people in who are living in minorities today? How do you include everyone? What it is this white gaze or this Western gaze as well?
You said before that actually there weren't many women filmmakers for a certain times, but obviously you had a lot to choose from in the end, I guess. You have a lot of women filmmaker or female filmmaker. You have a lot of films as well. How did you choose? I mean, it's eight films in the end. It's not that much.
Yeah, so in the end, the kind of the thread was to focus on women and body politics, because it seemed to be a recurrent theme and a theme that I found quite interesting to think of, what it is to be a woman, to have a body as a woman, to be in the public sphere, to be in the private sphere, to be with other women, to be with men, and it was all this this dialogue between the body, the changes also of the gaze over women's body, that was kind of the thread that I found watching all those films, and that I could have taken a lot of different themes or kind of threads, but this one felt the most close to me at the moment when I did this program.
Do you know why?
No, I don't know why. Probably it was an intuition. I don't know. I guess because I watch really a lot of films, and then at some point I thought, okay, that's maybe the way where I want to go. I don't know. Maybe because Aline was just had her baby at the time. Maybe because my sister was pregnant. You know, maybe because I don't know.
But there's not a lot of pregnancy, I think, in those films.
No, no.
But there is one about the creation.
Periods and...
I mean, everything is connected to pregnancy in a way.
Probably. We all were
aren't we
born
all?
Once.
I'm not.
But there is this one animation film that actually talks about creation. Swiss Graffiti, can you talk about it a little bit?
Yes, yeah, Swiss Graffiti is an animation by Jacqueline Veuve and Monique Renault, and it's really kind of a satire of the building of Switzerland, where patriarchy is kind of mocked by the two filmmakers, and it's an interesting technique because it's a brick on which the filmmakers draw something. So it's kind of taking again things from the public side and draw something very private in a way, because there's also again something with the penis and the vagina and the creation of Switzerland, and also Guillaume Tell, William Tell, yeah, in German, who appears at some point. So it's quite a funny satire of Switzerland, of the creation of Switzerland.
So what I read also in your description of the whole program is actually that about the same time when we got the right to vote, we actually got video cameras that, as you said, for
Carole Rosopoulos,
that we actually kind of could, or like we, I mean, women could could finally kind of take their own steps, could just without having a lot of people start their own filmmaking. What else maybe is there in the program where you can see that, or maybe we are all dissidents of, like?
Well, the other one was, for example, also as I briefly said in the beginning, the animation, the Swiss Graffiti. There were not that many women doing animation at the time. Most of the women were doing animation in duo with men, for example, or it was only men who would animate films, and Jacqueline Veuve and Monique Renault were kind of also the first ones to really be two women to do a film on their own and not being, you know, accompanied by a man who would in the end anyway take all the light. So that's also one maybe specific element. Another one could be also Angela Marzullo, for example. We haven't talked about this film yet, which is New York 2007. And it's part of a series of films that she did called Makita, where she invites her alter ego, Makita. And she really, she... kind of blows out all the patriarchal system, and she wants to change completely the educational system as well. And she set up a whole education for her two daughters, in which they are very free, in which they learn through women and through women figures about history. So it's a kind of sort of a way to be really engaged in feminism.
Speaking of learning, what did you learn, like, when you worked so much with those women filmmakers, with those artists, with the films? What changed in this year that you kind of digged into women filmmaking in Switzerland?
I don't know if something really changed, but I was very happy to discover all those films, and not to, and I wish I had more, there was more space actually, so we could do a whole women's festival program.
I will work on that. I will start my agenda now.
And yeah, so it was really a discovery of some. Also, I was very happy to take the time to discover pioneers, because I didn't have that much time to go into archives. So I went also a lot. I researched a lot in Simone de Beauvoir, the archives of Simone de Beauvoir. And there's a lot of films from Carol Roussopoulos, for example, because she was very connected to that scene, and she also she funded a video collective called Video Out with her husband and with other people, so which was an activist collective, and now she has all her archive in the Centre Simone de Beauvoir. So that was also kind of one of the discovery that I did, and that I was very happy to dig into. And then I was also very happy to watch again the films by Pipi Le Tiriste, because it's always they also accompanied in a way my teenagehood and my beginning of adulthood. So it was also very nice to see them again and to dig into her work again.
The one you chose is like the German title is
Blutklip.
Yeah. It talks about menstruation, in fact, and I find it funny because she is someone who also kind of, I've known her my whole life, I think, I was really happy to see her on the board. But what's the film about? It talks about menstruation, and I think, I don't know, where I live in the bubble I move, maybe, it's very normal to talk about menstruation, or it's very normal, or it got very normal to talk about bleeding and stuff. But maybe it's all women. What was your experience when you put that film on?
But I think it's because it kind of depicts blood in a very sensual and in a very kaleidoscopic way. So it's very visual, actually. So it doesn't really, say anything about that or make it so much different than what we used to see. But it's just that it makes it visible in a way, and very and for me it was also very a very good film to put at that time of the program. I hesitated a lot between another one, and I don't remember the title yet, in which we see episiotomies in front and with mountains. But this one was very frontal and was very, and I thought, okay, maybe in an installation it's okay, but when you're in a room and it's quite a long film and you have to watch it from the beginning to the end, it might annoy some people. So I thought, okay, let's go for something a bit more poetic.
So the program is really for everybody. It's not only for women, obviously.
Definitely not. No.
Would you consider yourself a feminist?
Yes, of course, yeah. I mean, I'm always surprised when women say that they're not feminist in a way, because, I mean, you always carry this with you, and your history or your story, your personal story, makes it that you lived a few things in your life in which you could see that basically there are inequalities between men and women, and that it needs to change. So yeah, in that way, yeah. And I mean, it's not that I'm an activist, but I'm feminist.
Aline, what about you?
Definitely, yes. And I always like carry the idea in me that at one point I will become an activist. So when I get angry, yeah, or when I'm disappointed, or when I'm, just seeing from examples. I have a fortunate workplace where I really don't experience that, but just from others, or if I read the news, or I don't know. There was 2 days ago this study made public about femicide, also in Switzerland, and the problem with home violence at home. Of course, also there was a big study that's also men and women about it, and I'm sure also if you mean violence, that could be also psychological and not only physical. Also men, of course, suffer it, and maybe also a bit physical violence. But the main Opfer,
victims,
thank you, are still women to a big part. And yeah, those are the moments where I think I, at one point I will become an activist and not only feminist.
And I think also if we go back to cinema, in cinema it's also very obvious now in the last 5 years with the hashtag MeToo movement, it made it all visible, but it's really a scene in which there's a lot of discrimination and a lot of differences between men and women in the salaries, in the treatment. I mean, there's a lot of condescendence among men towards women, actresses and directors. You know, there's all this very strange microcosm which makes it not always sane.
What I thought when I saw the programs, the big focus that is La Suisse n'existe pas, and then also make it visible, it's all about kind of things that are there but aren't really seen, or seen differently, or maybe have to be made visible, actually. Why? Why do you think after so many years of fighting, women still have to make themselves more visible?
Because, for example, our pension will be 1 year later, very soon, and still we are not paid after 3:15 on every Friday. So it's there's still a lot of things that are not okay and that we need to change, and that if no one speaks about it, well, it will never change.
So can filmmaking help?
Well, I hope so. You should go and watch the films. No, I don't know. I hope so. And I hope it will really change. And I see more and more women making film now, and they are more active as well, but still after their studies, usually a lot of women drop because it's too complicated, especially if you have a family. So and then also I think for the first feature it's still something 40 women, 60 men who ask for money, but then after the first feature it really drops even more because of family issues and because women work more, it seems, in the family than outside the family, than for their work.
After seeing all those pioneers as well and kind of digging into all those old women who kind of made way for us, what would you tell young filmmakers, female filmmakers, what should they look for, or what can they do to kind of be their persona or themselves in the filmmaking business nowadays in Switzerland?
I don't know, to be themselves and to just continue to move forward and to look into the future and see what they can what they can change and how they can improve their own position. And also, I think now what is also very interesting is the whole sorority, a lot of women being together again and being into collectives. And I think this is also something very interesting at the moment. A lot of women are working together, are trying to build things together, and I am really looking forward to see how it develops.
Can we learn that as well from the pioneers? Did they work together? Did they have groups, or were they all like single fighters?
No, they were also groups, of course. For example, Carole Roussopoulos and Delphine Seyrig, they worked together a lot. They also did this SCUM manifesto, for example, this video. And there were lots of women who were working together, and also lots of women who were working on their own. I mean, it's not that they're always working in collective.
I think our time is already up, which is sad. I think I could have just stayed here and talked with you the whole night. Maybe to wrap it up, is there one of the women that is kind of your favorite, or one of the films that is your favorite?
Not really, no. I wouldn't say there is one film that is my favorite or one woman filmmaker who is my favorite in that program, because I all really like them and love their approach on cinema. And I wish I could have included more, as I said before. So no, really, I couldn't say there is one that I like in particular.
So maybe you could do like a list for all of us who want to see more, and then we could just share and talk. Great. Thank you so much, Delphine Gendre, for being here. Thank you also, Aline Juchler. Wir wechseln zurück auf Schweizerdeutsch. Zum einen noch schnell sagen, wenn ihr jetzt Lust bekommen habt, um das Programm zu schauen, dann könnt ihr das morgen Abend am Donnerstag um 7:30 im Kino Cameo oder dann am Freitag um 2:30 am Nachmittag im Casino Theater 2, also im Casino 2, da. Das war es vom Kurzfilmtag heute, von dem Mittwoch. Das war der erste Tag. Ihr könnt noch weiter spannende Gespräche mit Filmmachenden und spannenden Menschen, die in den Kurzfilmtagen dabei sind, hören. Das immer am 6. Uhr morgen und noch bis und mit Samstag. Mein Name ist übrigens Silvia Mattis. Ciao zusammen.
Radio Stadtfilter live an der internationalen Kurzfilmtag Winterthur 2021.